Hallelujah. Well, our text is 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 23rd verse, where Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Son of Man, or the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we talked last night about the threefold nature of man, spirit, soul, and body. Now, the spirit of man is the part of man's threefold nature that contacts God. The spirit of man is really the real man. He's called by Paul the inner man, and by Peter he's called the hidden man of the heart. Well, it's the spirit of man that receives eternal life and that is born again. Thank God we'll have a new body one of these days, but we've already been made new on the inside. We notice the text there in 2 Corinthians 4:16, where he said, Paul said, though the outward man, talking about the body, is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. So if he's renewed day by day, then he doesn't get older like the outward man does. Amen. So we're still young in spirit. Praise God. Amen. Now, we know this, that when a man is born again, and it's his spirit that is born again. Now, you know, a lot of times we just sort of interchange some of these things, but maybe we know what we're doing, but others may not. Some folks came to the altar and was born again, said, well, we had three souls saved last night. But really, we didn't. What we had was three spirits that were born again. Amen? I said, amen. And became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now we all know that Romans, the 6th chapter and the 23rd verse, says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is the life and the nature of God. And it's the God kind of life. You remember Jesus made a profound statement in John, the 5th chapter, the 26th verse. He said, for as the Father hath life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. In other words, what he said is that the same kind of life that the Father has in himself, the Son has. And then he went on in the 10th chapter of John by saying, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And so you see, Jesus said, as the Father has life in himself, so it was given to the Son to have life in himself. And now I'm come that you might have that kind of life. Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we see then that we have the life of God that comes into our spirits. We have the nature of God in our spirits. The Bible said, God is love. Now, we all believe that, don't we? But the same Bible said that this God kind of love, the love of God, has been shed abroad in our hearts, in our spirits, by the Holy Ghost. The problem with so many folks is that they don't let their inward man dominate. They let the outward man, or their flesh, their natural human thinking, dominate them. That's the reason you need to present your body to God, a living sacrifice, as the scripture said, and get your mind renewed with the word of God. Amen. Somebody said, you know, I remember I was holding a meeting one time several years ago in California, and in the morning service, there's several local pastors came to visit, and several of us went out to eat. Just we ministers. I think about five of us all together. They were all talking, and I just listened. You know, you can learn more listening than you can talking, because you already know everything you know. And you're not going to learn anything new, you're talking. So I just listened. They got to talking about the love of God, and they said that's what we need. We need to pray that God would give us a revival of divine love. Well, I just listened to all they had to say and never said anything, and finally one of them said, Brother Hagin, what do you think about it? Well, I said, according to your conversation, all you fellas need to get saved. They said, well, we're already saved. Well, I said, if you've been born again, the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. What have you done with it? You've been talking about we need it. Well, we've got it. What are we doing with it? You can't develop spiritually without walking in love. Amen? Actually, your faith won't work, because faith worketh by love, the Bible said. Amen? And so you can grow in love, though, because love is a fruit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And you can grow. Fruit grows. So don't get discouraged if you haven't been made perfect in love. I don't know anybody that has except me. But no, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. Amen. Thank God. And so we have the nature of God, the life of God, and the nature of God in our spirits. God's nature is love. Therefore, if a man's born again, and he's got God's love on the inside of him, now he must exercise it. I tell the story sometime, and I'll make it real brief here, of an experience I had in 1956 in one of the western states. A young couple, I had met them at a convention. Both of them were ordained ministers. And when I went to their town, now they weren't pastor of the church, but they were going to this church to hold a meeting, I learned that their youngest child had epilepsy, and that the leading physician in the world said this is the worst case that he had ever seen. Well, of course, I'm preaching faith and healing, and they're endeavoring to exercise faith and believe God for the healing of that child. And so one night they invited my wife and I to go with them after the service to have a sandwich, and we were sitting in the restaurant eating, and she said, Brother Hagin, you've got me in trouble. No, I said, I didn't get you in trouble. You was in trouble before I got here. The Word of God just shows it up. But what is your problem? Well, said, you said tonight in your sermon, I quoted actually 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 14th verse and 15th verses, where it talks about again that we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's the way you know you're saved. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I said to her, and she said to me, said, you said, he that hateth his brother, and stopped and said, that means mother-in-law too. Well, I said, what's your problem? She said, I hate my mother-in-law. Well, I said, if you do, then you're a murderer. Well, she said, I'm an ordained Pentecostal minister. I said, I don't care if you're ordained 100 times. If you hate your mother-in-law, you're a murderer. She said, well, I was born in a Pentecostal parsonage and raised up in the Pentecostal church. Got saved at an early age, filled with the Holy Ghost when I was just about 4 years old, speaking other tongues. And speaking other tongues today. I said, I don't care if you lived 100 years, spoke in other tongues for 20 hours out of every 24. If you hate your mother-in-law, you're a murderer. Now, I knew that she really didn't. I knew where her problem was, that she's letting her mind and her flesh dominate her. Amen. And so I saw that I just about had her sunk. I better help her now. I said, look me in the eye. She's sitting right across the, we're in a booth. She's sitting right across the table from me. I said, look me in the eye and say, I hate my mother-in-law, and check down here in your spirit. So she reached over and said, I hate my mother-in-law. I said, what happened here? She said, there's something down there scratching me. I said, yeah, it's the love of God that's in your spirits trying to get your attention. Well, she said, what am I going to do? I said, act like you did love them because you do. See, how would you act if you did love them? Act like you did love them because you do love them. Hallelujah. Well, a few nights later, she said to my wife and I, you know, I'm having my sister-in-law and my mother-in-law, and they're all going to the same church, and at odds with one another, out with one another. I've invited them over to our house for refreshments after church on Friday night. Would you all come? And so we went. That's when we found out this child, I didn't know it till then, had this epilepsy. And so a few nights later, we were getting ready to go to church, and she called because the child went into this attack. Now, they could have medication that would make it lighter but not keep it coming. And you go into this preliminary attack. And so she wondered if I would stop by on the way to church, because it's just right on the way from our motel, and pray for the child. Well, ordinarily, unless the Lord tells us, we don't do that. But the Lord said, go ahead. So I said, tell her we'll be around there in about 10 minutes. And so we stopped by. Now this child's in this seizure. Just all. Amen. Right in the middle of it. But on the way over, just like somebody sitting in the back seat. Yet you look back there, nobody's back there. Now to me, it sounded like it was audible. But it wasn't audible, because if it had been audible, my wife would have heard it. She didn't hear anything. I asked her, did you hear that? She said, no, I never heard anything. I said, the Lord said, don't pray for the child. Don't lay hands on the child. Don't anoint the child with oil. When you get there, say to the mother, Mother, in the Old Testament, God said to Israel, you keep my commandments and walk in my statute, do that which is right in my sight, and I'll take sickness out of them from the midst of thee. The number of thy days I'll fulfill. Paraphrasing that in New Testament language, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. You walk in my commandment of love, keep my statute of love, do that which is right in my sight, which is to walk in love, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. The number of your days you'll fulfill. And then the Lord said, tell her, the mother, to say to Satan, Satan, I'm walking in love. Take your hand off my child. I didn't get the words out of my mouth, and that child's all twisted up, you know, and all through these contortions. And that mother turned immediately and pointed and said, Satan, I'm walking in love. Take your hand off my child. As fast as you can snap your finger, that seizure stopped. And she never, till this day, had another epileptic seizure. Amen. Well, now some folks say, isn't that wonderful? And rejoice about it and miss the whole thing. Bless God, it'll work for you just like it did her. Amen. Somebody said, well, yeah, but maybe I'm not walking in love. Well, get in love then. I mean, a few days before, she wasn't walking in love. But now then, she is. If you get out from under the umbrella of love, run as fast as you can. Get back under it. Because you'll get in trouble if you don't. Amen. Well, thank God. You'll notice he said, we quoted that 1 John, the 14th and the 15th verses. We know. I like that, don't you? That's positive. Not we hope so. Not maybe so. Not this is my theory. Not this is the way I've got it figured out. No, we know. Fact. Now you know what a theory is, don't you? You won't find this definition in the dictionary, but it's a good definition. A theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. Amen. So there's no theory about it. We know. Everybody say we know. What is it that we know, John? That we have passed from death unto life. Now you understand he's talking about spiritual death and spiritual life. Now how do we know it? Well, we belong to the right church. No, we know because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. See, he's talking about spiritual death. 15th verse, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hallelujah. Now then, if we have passed from death unto life, we've passed from the old life unto the new life. Life in him. Eternal life. Praise God forevermore. And then Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, this kind of life, and then that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. And so, if we have eternal life in him, thank God. The life of God, which is eternal life, and the nature of God, which is love, is in us. And we just automatically have that love. It's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We're to cultivate it, and we're to develop it, and it'll grow. And the Bible even talks about being made perfect in love. Now, I haven't got there yet. I'm working on it. You know anybody that has? Is anybody here that's perfect in love? If there is, I want you to stand up. I want us all to start praying for liars right now and put you at the head of the list. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit is the agency that imparts eternal life to our spirits through the Word. It's through the preaching of the Word that we become convicted and we come to Jesus. And thank God, His Spirit, when we're born again, bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8:16. That we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Now, I remember I was born again. Now, I belonged to church. I'd been baptized as a 9-year-old boy. And 1933, April the 22nd, when my heart stopped and I left my body and went down into the outer darkness and then to the gates of hell, I cried out to God. I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water. But He didn't answer me. I just kept descending, down, down, down. But as I came up out of that, I began to pray. And when I got back inside my body, my tongue picked up my prayer right in the middle of the sentence, because that inward man was already praying. And my tongue picked up that prayer, and I was born again at 20 minutes till 8 o'clock in the south bedroom, 405 North College Street, the city of McKinney, Texas. That's 32 miles north of Dallas. And so I know I'm born again. Well, I was bedfast for 16 months. Then I was healed as a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible. And I came off that, been preaching ever since then. Now, I'm born again, born of the Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, I'm baptized into the body of Christ. I haven't been baptized in water yet. Someone said, well, you're not saved. I run into those folks that said that. I said, I'm not. No, you're not. If I were to die, you'd go to hell. Well, I said, that's strange. Because on August the 16th, 1933, my heart stopped and I left my body. Instead of going down, I went up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Besides that, you know, now a lot of folks get all confused and somebody talk to the devil and then work God. The devil works through people just like God works through people. And they'll try to talk you out. See, they're religious demons. They'll try to talk you out of your salvation. I ran into all kind of these folks. Well, let me baptize you in water and then that'll make you a Christian. I said, I'm already a Christian. No, unless you belong to our little bunch, you know. I thought with some of them, I said to some of them, dear Lord, you mean that's all that's going to heaven, just you and your little bunch? Yeah, that's right. I said, I don't know whether I want to go or not. But see, I knew better. Now, why? I passed from death unto life. Now, if we was having someone's funeral here this morning, well, yours, for instance, and we've got a coffin here, you know, a casket, and we all walk around, you know, look into that, we look into your face, and suddenly you just sit up and then just put your foot over the casket and step out of it. Somebody said, now you go back there, you're dead, you can't, you know, sir, uh-uh. They can't talk you out of it. You've been there. Amen. I just laughed. I laughed at those folks. Just 17-year-old boy. And I was several years before I was ever baptized in water because I didn't find anybody that wanted to baptize me. Amen. I finally got over the full gospel, folks, and let a Pentecostal preacher baptize me in water. But I was saved and preaching and got other people saved and other people healed all those times. Amen. And they'd try to tell me, you know, you're not saved because you haven't been baptized in water. And then some of you haven't been baptized in water with my formula. I never knew that a baptismal formula ever saved anybody. Amen. And if you don't belong to our little bunch, then you're not saved. I just laughed at him. I know, bless God, when I rose up out of that casket. Amen. I know. We know. And I just went ahead and loved those people anyhow. Bless their hearts. See, sometimes you can be right in your heart and wrong in your head. Amen. Thank God for the love of God. Can you say amen? Now the Spirit, King James translation said itself, a better translation would be himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now then notice here then that John said we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Paul said the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Not only do we have the love of God, but we've got the life, which is the nature of God, which is love, and eternal life in our spirit, and the witness, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you just know right here on the inside of you. Now, it is the Holy Spirit that, like I said, through the Word, imparts eternal life unto our spirit, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Thank God. And His Spirit bears witness with our spirits. So then, though there is the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, we need to understand that there's also more. Now, I began my ministry with as a Southern Baptist. I knew I was born again. But now we were taught, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's true up to a point. And that's it. You know, there's nothing more. But according to the Word of God, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in the inward man. The Word of God teaches us that there is an experience subsequent to salvation called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, it's true, like I said, that the child of God is born of the Spirit. The child of God has the witness of the Spirit. The child of God has the Spirit abiding in their spirit. But thank God you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember a pastor from one of the, not Oklahoma City or Tulsa, which are the large cities, but a larger, I guess, you know, next year is one of the larger cities here in Oklahoma. Baptist pastor called. He happened to catch me in. He wanted to come talk to me, and I said, okay, come on, I'll talk to you. We were over on North Utica then, so I took him in our little chapel there, and we sat down. He said to me, Brother Hagin, I've been called to pastor and mention a church in a large city in another state. In fact, he said, their main sanctuary sits on the corner. Then they have Sunday school buildings and youth buildings two blocks down the street. They run 4,000 on Sunday in Sunday school. And I've been called as pastor. I almost get scared to think about it. He came from about 1,000 people, and well, maybe 700 or 800, I guess, really. And he said, I don't understand about this. I feel my need of more of God, and I feel my need of power, but I don't understand about this tongues business. Now, he said, my father-in-law, also a Baptist minister, he got to reading your books, and he got this experience speaking with tongues. And then he said he got me to read some of them. I began to read them on healing. And in my church, First Baptist Church, every Sunday night I have a healing service and lay hands on people. We had one lady in the hospital dying with cancer. We got her healed. We have some outstanding healings. Well, somebody said, how come God meeting them, they're not even baptized the Holy Ghost? Well, Smith Wigglesworth said, there's something about believing God that'll cause God to pass over 1 million people just to get to you. They were believing God along this line, and God honored that. But now he said, you're not saying that we don't have the Holy Ghost, do you? I said, sure, I'm not. You are baptized, you are born of the Spirit. You've got the witness of the Spirit within your spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit residing right here on the inside of you. Well, that seemed to relieve that. I thought you were saying we don't even have the Holy Ghost. We didn't speak in tongues. No, I said that's just an added experience. You have the Holy Spirit, but you need to be filled. One thing to have the Holy Spirit or to be born of the Spirit, another thing to be filled. Well, he said, I guess that's what I want. I need to be filled. How can you tell when you're filled? I said, well, all I know is Acts 2:4 said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And immediately when they said that, we were sitting there, he got up immediately, stood up and knelt down and said, lay your hand on me, I'll be filled right now. I laid hands on him. He lifted both hands and began to speak fluently in other tongues. Never stammered, never stuttered. Amen. What a time he had. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Now, let's look into the book of Acts for just a moment. Turn to Acts, the 8th chapter. Here's a portion of Scripture that helped me as a young Baptist boy preacher to see the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or being filled with the Holy Ghost, as a separate experience. We notice here in Acts, the 8th chapter, the 5th verse, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. They gave heed unto him, both hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For it talks about many the unclean spirits came out of many with a loud voice that was possessed of them. Many that were sick of the palsy were healed. Many that was lame was healed. There's great joy in the city. Now when they believed the preaching of Philip concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. That's evidently means they were baptized in water. Now you skip down there to the 14th through the 16th verse. Now when the apostles, he said, which abode at Jerusalem, heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice this. When the apostles, which were in Jerusalem, heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God. Were these people, I asked myself the question way back there years ago, were these people saved before Peter and John got there? Well, the Bible tells us, being born again by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Peter said that, you remember. Amen. In his first epistle. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God. Now notice, the apostles heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God. Hallelujah. Besides that, Jesus is the word of God. They had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And then the scripture said, the 17th verse, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the new birth. No. And they received the word of God. No, they'd already done that. They received the Holy Ghost. So you can readily see from this portion of scripture that receiving the Holy Ghost is an experience subsequent to salvation. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost has come in us, he dwells within us. Now, thank God, we're filled. Hallelujah. Now, the reason that so many people, when they come to receive the Holy Spirit, they stumble, they struggle, they try to receive, because they try to do it mentally. The Holy Ghost is not in your head. And the only reason that the Holy Ghost is in your body, which is the temple of the Ghost, is because your body is the temple of your own spirit. He comes to dwell in your spirit. It's the easiest thing in the world if you'll just teach people. Get your tongue unhooked from your head and hook it up to your heart. Amen. Because that utterance comes from within you, out of your spirit. Now, I remember this, that when I received in April the 8th, 1937. You remember April the 8th, 1937 was on a Thursday. And I went every opportunity I got to the Full Gospel Church. Full Gospel Tabernacle, they called it. They were in a revival meeting. I was going nearly every night. I was just walking down the street in my hometown. I said, Lord, who's right about this? Now, I quoted one outstanding Baptist minister, said, if you're born again, then you have the Holy Ghost. That's it, period. But then another Baptist minister that I thought well of and had helped me immeasurably, He said there is an experience subsequent to salvation called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he said, at least he is kind about it. He said, our dear Pentecostal friends are wrong about this, that you don't have to speak with tongues. You just claim it by faith, and you got it. But then another Baptist minister said, all in the same group, see, there's about 50 different shades of Baptist. Amen. But these happen to be all Southern Baptist. And he said, there is an experience, subsequent salvation, called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's talking to young ministers, don't you dare go out and preach without it. That's about all he said about it, about all he dared to say about it. Amen. So I just simply said to the Lord as I walked down the street in my hometown, who's right about this? I quoted these three different Baptist ministers. Then I said, now these Pentecostal people say, you know, that you should speak with tongues. Who's right about it? See, I'm just a young minister. I was pastor of a little country church at this time. We just called it a community church, but 85% of us were Southern Baptists. Who's right about it? Now, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Thank God I'm born of the Spirit. Because I'm born of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit does reside in my spirit. Now, for instance, there on the bed of sickness, I'd been bedfast for 16 months, five different doctors on my case through the years, and they said nothing could be done, that I had to die. But something on the inside of me, see, it's an inward witness we talked about here. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, not a voice, just an inward, well, we call it intuition sometimes, said you don't have to die at this early age, just 16 years old. Well, I knew there wasn't any need to look to medical science because the best doctors in the land, even the great Mayo Clinic, said Dr. W.S. Wysong, who is on my case, is the number one surgeon of the world and one of the foremost physicians. My grandfather inquired about sending me up there to the Mayo Clinic, see what they thought. They said if Dr. Wysong, W.S. Wysong, says nothing could be done, you'd be wasting your time and your money to send that boy up here. Well, Dr. Wysong said, as far as medical science has any record of, no one in your condition has ever lived past the age of 16. I became bedfast when I was 15. I'm going the direction they said to go. So I know there's no use to look to medical science. If there is any help, if I could be healed, it has to be in the Word, it has to be with God. But you see, my mind's all cluttered up because I've heard so much religious teaching. My mind had been religiously brainwashed instead of being New Testament taught. And that's the thing that holds us back. And my mind said, well, no, now that's not for us nowadays. Well, I asked my kinfolks. Some of them said, well, no, all that ceased with the apostles. Finally, some of them did say, well, now God's a sovereign being. You know, he can do anything he wants to do. But really, he can't. One fellow said, bless God, I believe it. I said, well, if he can, why don't he make you pay your tithes? I mean, that shut him up in a hurry. No, there's a lot of things he can't do because folks won't let him. They won't cooperate with him. Amen. Now, God, though, is a sovereign being, they said. Now, he could heal you if he wanted to. But some way or another, then the devil told me I'm one of them that he don't want to heal. Amen. But that inward witness just persisted in here. And so I remember then I got a hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24. And I said to the Lord, now I'm still helping. Mama had bathed me, left me popped up on two large pillows, and the Bible propped up in front of me. And I'm reading Mark 11, 24 and 20, or 23 and 24. And so I just simply said to the Lord, dear Lord Jesus, now, if you stood here by my bedside in the flesh, I could see you. I can see Mama standing there. And you picked up my hand and held my hand in your hand like Mama does sometimes. and you looked down in my face and you said, son, your problem is that you don't believe. I said, I'd have to say to you, I said it in tones of kindness, I'd have to say to it, dear Lord Jesus, you're lying about it, I do believe. Now when I said that, on the inside of me I heard these words. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit in the inward man. Jesus, remember back over in John's Gospel, 14th, 15th, 16th chapters, just before he went away, went to Calvary to die, to be raised from the dead, to ascend on high, to sit down at the right hand of the Father, to enter into the heavenly holies of holies with his own blood, to obtain an eternal redemption for us. In this 14th, 15th, and 16th chapter of John, he talks about the Holy Spirit that they should receive, and he talks about what he'd do. And in that 16th chapter, he talked about the Holy Spirit. He said, he'll show you things to come. And he said, he shall not speak of himself. So the Holy Ghost does speak, but he'll not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Amen. Well, he does speak. He doesn't speak of himself, but whatever he hears God say, whatever he hears Jesus say, that's what he speaks. Well, where does he speak? Well, where is he? Right in here. So I heard these words. I heard these words right in here. You do believe. See, the Holy Spirit is repeating what he heard Jesus say. You do believe, all right, as far as you know. Now that's the first revelation, or one of the greatest revelations, I say, that I've received on the subject of faith. You do believe, all right, as far as you know. And then the voice went on to say, right in here, that last clause goes with that verse. And then he quoted, you see, what things have you desire, when you pray, believe you'll receive and you'll have. I said, Lord, you said whatever you desire, I desire well about it. You said when you pray, I prayed. You said believe, and I believe. And if you stood here and said you don't believe, I'd say you're a liar. I do believe. He said you do believe as far as you know. You cannot believe beyond actual knowledge. Faith is based on facts. The facts of God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You do believe as far as you know, but that last clause goes with that verse, and ye shall have them. I saw it. Didn't ever see it till then, but I got the revelation of it. I said, I see it. I got to believe I am, not going to be, am, present tense, heal, while I'm still lying here bedfast and haven't moved a peg. I must begin to believe that I receive healing for the deformed heart while it's still not beating right. I receive healing for the paralysis, healing for the incurable blood disease. And so I began to say that out loud. I believe I receive. Then I heard these words in here. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now you believe that you're well. I said, I sure do. Get up then. Well, people ought to be up 10:30 in the morning. Ordinarily that's the case. But now wait a minute. How's a paralyzed person going to get up? Well, I made the effort. And when I did, then I felt the warm glow of God's power come on me. Went down from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and I was standing out of the bed well. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. But the thing is this. I want you to notice something here. I want you to see where people struggle and fail. Is that I obeyed what he said, the inward voice. Now, a lot of folks just mentally try to ape and imitate what I did. Or they try to ape or imitate what somebody else did. They haven't got any word yet down in here. See what he's saying to you. Are you listening to me? And then act upon it. Say it out loud. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now, I heard the Holy Ghost say, I heard him just then say, I've already spoken to some who are here, some about their healing. I've spoken to others about other things of their lives and in their lives, and I've spoken to others concerning their ministry, and they haven't acted on it yet, and they're wondering why the answer doesn't come. Well, I'm believing, they say, but it's merely of the head. Act. if he's spoken unto you and you believe that it is him, act like it's so. Hallelujah. And when you head that direction, then the power of God will come and make it so. And the blessings of the Lord will overflow. And the desires of your heart shall be granted. And the blessings of the Lord are yours. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. Praise God forevermore. Let's lift our hands and praise Him. Let's lift our hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So then, I had become familiar and acquainted with the Holy Spirit in the new birth and Him that was indwelling me. And so as I walked down the street silently to myself, not out loud, I prayed, Lord, who's right about this? This Baptist minister said that. This other Baptist minister said this. This other Baptist minister said this. Pentecostal folks say this. You ever notice the Holy Ghost always brings you right back in line with the Word? He'll never lead you apart or separate from the Word. Most of the time, He'll take the Word. Amen. And speak to you. So again, because I knew the voice, I'd followed that voice and was raised up from a deathbed. On the inside of me, I heard these words. What does Acts 2:38 say? Well, I said, Peter said to those folks preaching on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The inward voice said, what does the 39th verse say? I said, it says, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But I said, Lord, I believe in the Holy Ghost. It's just speaking with tongues that I don't understand. He asked me the question then, these words, what does Acts 2:4 say? Well, he knew I knew he wouldn't ask me. Quoted, I could quote those days as a Baptist minister, I could quote 2/3 of the New Testament. And so I said, Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to, I see it. We preach in the same new birth they had, I've got it. We preach the same water baptism they had, I've got that now. I should have the same infilling of the Holy Ghost. I know what I'll do. I said, I'll go down to the Pentecostal preacher's house right now. See, I knew it wouldn't take me long. I'll just go down to the Pentecostal preacher's house right now and receive this experience or be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I went down there, knocked on the door. Pastor came to the door. Evangelist, they were in revival, was right beside him. I just blurted out, I've come down here to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, and all they know, he said, wait and seek for it tonight. You know, at the close of the service, the altar service. I said, it won't take me long to receive. Well, the evangelist saw, you know, I was ready. I saw him nudge the pastor. He said, well, come on in then. So I just went into the living room and knelt down. By large share. Now, if they tried to instruct me, I don't know. I didn't hear it. I closed my ears. I just knelt down by this large chair and I said, now, Lord, I told him again what these Baptist preachers said. I told him again what the Pentecostal folks said. I told him again what the inward voice said to me. And I said, now I've come to receive the Holy Spirit. And it was by faith that I was saved. It was by faith that I was healed. And it's by faith that I'm filled with the Spirit. So now then, I receive the Holy Ghost and want to thank you. I want to thank you now because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now then, Lord, because I'm filled, I expect to speak with tongues. They did. And I want to thank you for it. I never felt so dead and dry in my life. But you know, when I said that, when I said those words about that time, I felt something in here like somebody built a bonfire in here. And here are these flames just flaming up inside me. And these strange words wanted to come out. And I seemed like I knew what they'd sound like if I spoke them. I just started speaking them. Man, I spent an hour and a half talking in tongues. And I'm not a singer. I sang 3 songs in tongues. I hope I was on key all right. I don't know. But anyway, I... amen. Sang 3 songs in tongues. I had me a time. Amen. Now, when I started talking with tongues, I got my watch and looked at it. I had a good watch, you know. I'd give 49 cents for it on sale. One of those pocket watches. These are depression days, you remember. It's a dollar watts, they called it, but you get them sometime, you know, 69 cents regular and 59 cents on sale, and sometime they'd put a super sale on, you get it for 49. Amen. I looked at it. It's 10 minutes past 6 p.m. Hallelujah. I was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. It was by following that inward voice, following the inward witness to begin with. And then secondly, by following that inward voice. Hallelujah. Say it again.
Thank God
for the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Say it again.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Say this.
He
the Holy Ghost,
abides within me.
Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Well, you remember what John said in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. You have overcome them, talking about demons, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I remember I got a hold of that scripture way back down to years and years ago, 60 some odd, right? What about, 60 years ago. And I read about it first from Smith Wigglesworth in his book, Sermons, that he preached, and they took a shorthand published, Ever Increasing Faith. He made this statement: I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Well, at my stage of spiritual development at that time, that sounded ridiculous. You know, in my day, we didn't have these tubeless tires like we got now. We had an inner tube in the tire. And in my mind, I could see that inner tube a whole lot bigger than the tire. I knew what it was going to do. It was going to burst. It was going to blow out. I said, that couldn't be so. You couldn't be 1,000 times bigger on the inside than you're on the outside. If it's 1,000 times bigger on the inside, you know, it'd just blow up like that inner tube, I thought, until there'd be a blowout. So I just laid the book down. Didn't read it anymore. But somewhere or another, I couldn't get away from it. So I picked it up after a while, number of days, number of weeks, and began to read again. Enjoyed it down to that point because he talked my language. I was a person of faith and he was a person of faith, and he talked the faith language. But then I read that. I'm 1,000 times bigger, and I stopped and thought, you couldn't, that's impossible. Well, you know, I saw that tire with the inner tube in it. And that inner tube just keep putting air in, just keep putting air in, just keep putting air in it. And after a while, it gets bigger than the outside. It's going to blow up, blow out. Laid the book down. But somewhere or another, couldn't get around. See, my spirit knew more than my head did. My head was trying to figure that out and related it like to tire in the inner tube. But my spirit knew better. And so, weeks later then, I picked the book up again and started reading. Well, now this time, I had enough sense. And I really believe the Holy Ghost led me. You know, sometimes the greatest leadings of the Holy Ghost are when we're unconsciously led. We're not conscious of the moment of being led. I read a little, instead of stopping, I read further. And I read where he's talking, or the reason he's talking about, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside. He referred to the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that's in me. He that's in me. He that's in me is bigger. He's 1,000 times really bigger than anything out here in the seen realm. So when I read that, I jumped up with enthusiasm and I said, well, he missed it. Dear Lord, 1,000 times, I'm 1,000,000 times bigger. Hallelujah. 1,000,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Hallelujah. See, that's what's going to put you over. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, prays for them. You remember in the 3rd chapter, I prayed a prayer in the 1st chapter of Ephesians. But in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians, he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And then he went on to pray for them, that pray for the church at Ephesus, that they might be strengthened, now notice, with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Glory to God. You get strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You'll be like David. Bless God. By my God, he said he'd run through a troop and jumped over the wall. Bless God, you get to thinking on this and get strengthened with might. You'll run through the wall and jump over the troop. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Say it out loud. Greater,
greater
is he
that's in me
than he
that's in the world.
Well, who's in the world? Well, the god of this world's here. Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul calls him the god of this world. He's here, isn't he? Demons and evil spirits are here. Everything that pertains to spiritual death's in this world. But the greater one's on the inside of me. I'm 1,000 times bigger than anything that can come against me. Amen. I'm 1,000 times bigger. Glory to God than any task that I may face. Oh yeah, from the natural standpoint, I feel insufficient. From the natural standpoint, it looks like you can't do it. From the natural standpoint, you feel like you can't do it. Amen. Yet you know God said do it. The call of God's there. Amen. Amen. Now, when I first started preaching, you know, I didn't preach as good as I do now. Don't preach too good yet, but do best. But some folks tried to tell me I wasn't called. But I knew on the inside of it. Now, if they told me I couldn't preach, I might have believed it, because I was dissatisfied with my preaching myself. And I kept notes all those years. I still got some of them. I go back and look at them and get embarrassed. Just almost hide my faith in the Lord. But that's all I knew at the time. And God blessed me because he knew that's all I knew. Thank God I know more now than I did then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if they'd told me you can't preach, I might have believed it. They said you're not called. I never believed that, because I knew better. How do you know? Inside me. Inside me. Go by what's on the inside of you. I mean, if you've been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God, there's a whole lot more in there than what you've ever realized. And that greater one will help you. Whatever task you're called on to do, look to him to help you. Look to him to help you. I remember, and I'll close with this, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in the inward man. I was holding a meeting right here in Oklahoma in 1951. Or 52 it was. In those days, there was an organization called the Voice of Healing. And we had a convention over Thanksgiving time. And this particular year, it was right here in Tulsa. I needed to go because I'm a member of the Voice of Healing. We were way down the southeast corner of the state. The pastor that I talked about, and he's going to come, so we'd made preparation. Then he said, no, I'm not going. I said, well, if you're not going, I'm not going, because I'm not going. I've got to get back for night service. We didn't have any day services. And I said, I'm not going to drive up there and drive back. I wouldn't be ready. Finally, at the last minute, he said, well, I decided to go. So we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drove up here, because no freeways, you know, just two-lane roads, went through every little old town. Drove up here, got in the morning service. He was going to go back, but then he said, well, just stay and get the first part of the afternoon meeting. I think we can make it. But the fellow got to preaching. He wanted to hear him. Finally, we got in the car and headed back. He phoned ahead of time, said, we're going to be late. Just keep on singing. Now, I had announced, you know, because that this is Friday night. See, over Thanksgiving time, and over this period of time, we'd have a convention every year. I had announced Friday night is stretcher night. I mean, bring folks, you know, on stretchers. We're going to minister to them. Built that up. And here I've been gone. Got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We didn't go to bed till about 2. Got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. No rest. Got to preach. And then he's driving like a maniac. Actually, just two-lane roads, he'd pull off the road down in the ditch and go by people on the wrong side. And just a whipping in and out. I was in the back seat. I thought maybe I could pray back there, you know. But you know, he's praying for the meeting. I got to pray for him and our safety. I mean, he'd whip around people on the road. Yeah, get in the ditch and go down the ditch and go ahead of him. Go around him. So we got there. I mean, I had already been preaching 45 minutes before, and they'd just been singing, testified. He just jumped out of the car and ran to the church. Well, I saw two ambulances backed up there. I know there's two stretcher cases there. And I said to him, now just keep talking. I'm going to run in here, because he got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to try to shave a little bit, but I'm going to put on a fresh shirt and tie and freshen up a little bit, and I'll be there just fast as I can. So I got into my room in the parsonage, and I'm trying to get ready. And I'm griping and finding, oh God, oh God. Man, I was tired. I felt like going to bed instead of going to church. I said, that guy drove like a maniac. And I'm all tensed up. And I know there's two stretcher cases over there because I saw two ambulances backed up. I learned later they were three. They'd brought one in a panel truck. And I said, dear Lord, I'm in no shape to pray for the sick. Oh, God, I wish I hadn't announced that. My God, I wish I hadn't announced that. Amen. And to me, it was just as real as somebody standing in the room. I know it wasn't audible, but it's just as real as somebody standing in the room. Said, were you planning on healing them? Well, about that time, I was trying to time a time. That messed me up and had to start over again. I said to myself, now then, I'm all worked up. I'm having hallucinations. I thought I heard a voice. So I'm starting in again and turning my tie and started griping. Lord, I wish, oh my God, I wish they had enough sense not to go. And the voice said, were you planning on healing them? And I looked around, couldn't see anybody. They got to my bedroom, had its own bathroom. I went and looked in there, nobody's in there. I looked under the bed, nobody's under the bed. I looked in the closet, nobody's in the closet. And I said, well, my mind's playing me tricks. Still haven't got my tie tied. You know, when you're in a hurry, you can't get it. And then you get all frustrated. So I started tying it again and griping. Said, were you planning on healing them? I thought somebody must be standing outside this room. No, ain't nobody in it. They heard me because I'm talking out loud. So I opened the door and looked outside. Nobody out there. I said, Lord, I guess that is you talking to me. No, I couldn't heal a gnat's wing. And then he said, don't you know I know that you needed to go to the convention? You're one of them. You're supposed to be there. Now, if you'd been running around wasting your time all day, that'd been different. But you're still doing my business because you needed to be there. Now, if you'll just rest and shut your mouth and just lean back on me and let me do it, I'll heal them. I had the biggest eye. I went out there and got in the pulpit and just leaned back on him. Let him hold me up. If he don't hold me up, I'm flat. Two out of the three got instantly healed that were bedfast, and I learned 2 or 3 days later that the other on the second day was healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say it again. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now stand up. Stand up. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost in the inward man. Hallelujah. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. The greater one abides, lives inside me. Hallelujah. 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 Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go out, bless God, and whip the devil. Amen. Jesus already whipped him. You put him to flight. Amen. Go out. Take your place. Do the work He called you to do. Amen. Fulfill the ministry He called you to. You can do it. Not because of who you are, but because of who He is. And because He's in you. With you. In you. What you doing in you? Did He just hitchhike a ride with you through life? No. Is He just extra baggage for you to carry? No, He's in there to help you. I'll pray the Father and He'll send you another helper. King James says comforter. Actually, the Greek word is paraclete. Means one called alongside to help. Thank God for the helper. Thank God for the helper. Thank God we're not helpless. We're not without help. Amen. He's my helper. Amen. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do unto me. Glory to God. I mean, you believe that, you're there almost now. All you got to do is just put it into action. You'll be there. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say it again. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Turn and shake hands with your neighbor as you go and say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen.